These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado, encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught you all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
All right, here we go. It is Monday Funday, December the 9th, 2019. As we look to, take a look at what was the weekend, week 14 in the NFL season. We also, we've got our top four teams in college football. Playoffs are set, as is the other 932 playoff bowl games. Well, not really playoff, but bowl games, some sort of bowl, toilets, who gives a crap, you know, all of that kind of bowl stuff. Should be a lot of fun coming up here over the next 3 weeks of not only December, but the year as we close out 2019. It's going to be fun. A lot of opportunities to make it rain. And of course, Dane and I will do our best to make sure that happens. And we'll start, of course, tonight, Monday Night Football. Eli under center, getting ready to play spoiler, going up against Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. We are seeing, actually, some money come in. Maybe not on the team you thought it would be. But that that line is hovering still in a single digit. Will it get back up to double digits? This is just a tough game to swallow here tonight after exactly what we saw yesterday, which included the game of the year. We also had a pretty good glimpse into some of what the AFC playoffs might actually look like.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, I was pretty impressed with a couple of things yesterday. And I think, no doubt, the thing that blew me away was that 49ers-Saints game in which, you know, Breeze gets the opening kickoff and marches down the field as if there was nobody on the field for the 49ers. And then Garoppolo returns the favor and the game was on at that particular point. 60 points, Dane, almost 60 points in the first half of that game alone. They almost got to the 100 mark. But that was a pretty impressive victory by the 49ers. And I don't think I'm crazy here. But, guys, that's probably going to be the NFC Championship matchup. The winner has the right to come down to my neck of the woods here in Miami in February to play for Super Bowl. But give me that all. I'd like to see a little more defense, but I hope we get to see that again because I'd be really interested. Two great coaches, well-stacked teams, good quarterbacks. I can't wait to see the adjustments they would make for game two. I hope we get it. I think we might.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Welcome back. And let's make it rain here on the Sports Grid Network and cock-a-doodle do it. You're right. I mean, this was an amazing game. This was a great game. Nobody lost this game. The San Francisco 49ers went out and won this game. And, you know, it's interesting. You get two above average, if not good to elite defenses, and you get 94 points put up in the game. It's absolutely crazy. I would be okay with this. I think these are the two best teams in the NFC. Sure, Seattle, Minnesota, Green Bay may want to have something to say about it, but I think these are the top two teams. Is it the best game of the year? Sure. I mean, to be quite honest, Joe, in my opinion, San Francisco has been involved in the three best games of the year. What we saw yesterday against New Orleans, what we saw the week before that in Baltimore may not have been the sexiest game, but real football fans love that one. Oh, and by the way, Monday Night Football against Seattle that went to overtime wasn't one of the best games of the year also. So they definitely proved themselves. But I got to tell you, Joe, I think Kansas City, New England was very intriguing. I think Baltimore, Buffalo was very intriguing. And don't look now, but yeah, the Tennessee Titans put up 40 again. And I think we have to start paying attention to what the Ryan Tannehill-led Tennessee Titans are doing.
Well, they're going to have in two of the next 3 weeks, they're going to have exactly the
team
they need to be playing in order to be able to win it. And that being, of course, the Houston Texans, who threw up all over themselves. But, you know, the big question here this morning, I'm sure, is going to be, can we now stick a fork in Tom Brady and the New England Patriots? And
Kansas City,
it was great to win the game, but much like the Baltimore Raven Buffalo Bill game, I wasn't impressed with any of the teams actually on the field. It was ugly football, and there has to be a winner. But it's amazing what happens when you ratchet up the defenses a little bit over there, how these teams that seem like they're running over everyone, all of a sudden ain't running over anybody. Patrick Mahomes and company could have seriously put that game out of reach in the second half, except they couldn't get the job done. And that's the problem with Kansas City for me, is they can't run the damn ball. They have to keep trying to throw the ball. And when teams like New England can make adjustments in the second half, you're not going to have the same success if there's no threat of the run. And they don't have that this year. Not to mention now his hand is banged up. So all of these teams are a little bit flawed in their own right. But kudos to the Buffalo Bills for proving that, yeah, no, Lamar in that running game, it can be stopped, guys. That offense can be limited. The question is, what are you going to do? I don't know that Josh Allen and company, they just don't have the weapons yet in order to be able to win games like that. But their defense certainly showed up yesterday in Orchard Park.
Yeah, absolutely. They were in a physical game with the Baltimore Ravens, and they slowed. I think that's a good word. You know, you can't stop them completely. They did still put up 24 points, but they did look like they were struggling to do so. And I think that's very, very interesting. Listen, you know, Joe, I've been saying it for months now, right? My thing that there are three human beings that can stop the New England Patriots' path back through the AFC Invitational that's hosted at Gillette, you know, at the end of every January. I will say this, that I am starting to believe in Buffalo and Tennessee as like good teams. I think you have to believe that they are good teams, okay? Are they Super Bowl contenders? No. Not in my opinion, okay? But I think Tennessee and Buffalo, these are two teams, Joe, I'm going to call them Thursday night football teams. You know what I mean? They're like teams that a lot of the country doesn't really take seriously, doesn't really pay attention to because of the media market, because of their national exposure. And I think they are playoff teams. They are good football teams. They just don't have the MVP level talent to get it done at that level of the division winners right now.
I'll tell you an MVP nobody's talking about. How about give me a little shout out to Devlin Duck Hodges yesterday? Damn, Pittsburgh winning games. Talk about that coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast. We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcasts and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Doesn't happen very often, so you know, it happened, so we still had a chance and wish we could have scored their thing.
Oh, Tom, it's so funny. We've spent 20 years bitching and moaning about how Tom Brady and the Patriots get every call to go their way when it comes to the Zebras, and finally yesterday they get they get a couple of calls that just that were so wrong. And yet, was it the reason they lost to Kansas City? Well, partly. There was, of course, the fumble that was whistled dead that could have been returned for a touchdown. That was one. But N'Keal Harry stepping out of bounds that didn't step out of bounds that actually scored the touchdown, but they were out of timeouts. So they couldn't go ahead and challenge it. They were out of challenges, so they couldn't. I just, it warms my heart that it's finally starting to what goes around comes around. And anybody who's a fan of the Dolphins or really anybody in the AFC or the NFL for that matter, who has thought that maybe Mr. Brady gets the benefit of the doubts. Yeah, he didn't get the benefit of the doubt yesterday. And to make matters even worse, that game was at home. That was in Foxborough, which is notorious. For flags getting Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's way. I haven't seen Belichick that animated in a long time, people. And he was, if he could have stuck the red flag right up the rear of the red, he would have done it to Jerome Bolger and company because he was, I haven't seen him that on fire. And, you know, listen, deservedly so. I just don't think anybody today is going to shed a tear for poor Bill Belichick and Tom Brady not get the refs. We bitch and moan about them all year. I don't think we're going to hear a peep about how bad the officiating was in that game. I'd be shocked outside of EEI in Boston and others that we'd be hearing anything about how bad the officiating was yesterday.
No, I don't think anybody is shedding a tear for the New England Patriots, Joe. Absolutely not. I will say this. Joe, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy because I know you're saying, listen, Kansas City still couldn't run the ball. I know you're still saying the Patriots didn't get any breaks. Joe, I think the reason we're seeing this frustration from Belichick and Brady is because deep down they know. They know. I think deep down they know, Joe, that they are not the team that in back-to-back weeks – will beat two of these three other AFC big boys. I just don't think they will, Joe. I really don't. And remember last week I said I'm not calling them dead. I'm still not calling them dead. They're 10-3. But, Joe, we are now seeing that there is a way to defend this team that has less weapons, that has an average running game. And sure, they've got chemistry with Julian Edelman. But outside of that, Joe, they needed defensive pass interferences. They needed flea flickers. They needed halfback passes to generate offense. In regular kind of scenarios where they get a kickoff on their own 25, they're going three and out. You're putting pressure on them, forcing them to have you know, completions with a receiver not named Edelman that has a hot route, that has some kind of chemistry. It's not happening, Joe, and it's not happening now for weeks. I know they can still pull out some things. I know they were still only ultimately lost by 7, but I do not see this team keeping up or beating Baltimore and Kansas City in back-to-back weeks. There's answers to them now defensively. You can slow this team defensively, Joe.
But again, until I see it in the playoffs, I won't believe that the big bad wolf is dead until I see it. But I will say this: the Chiefs and the Patriots are pretty darn close, guys. In just about everything. And I, you know, you got Mahomes, you've got Andy Reid, who's notoriously, guys, given Bill Belichick fits over the years. Exactly the kind of game that Andy Reid has won time and time again over the years. The playoffs have been a different story for him, but during the regular season, Andy Reid's always good for one of these games against Belichick. You know, he meets his match with Andy Reid and what they can do. And when you think about it, these two teams now have played 3 times over the last 14 months, and they have played in 3 one-score right. games. New England's 1-2, Kansas City now 1. The total has been New England 94, Kansas City, New England 96, rather, Kansas City 94. I mean, you're looking at two teams that are extremely close, even when they're not at full strength or at their best. And yes, New England's got its offensive woes, and the longer that defense has to stay out on the field, the worse it is for them. But the same thing with, we're talking about January football here now. When we're talking about January playoff football and you've got to go to Arrowhead or you've got to play in Foxborough, you got to play in these very cold weather cities, you know, passing the ball 50 times, not going to be great. You got to be able, and neither of those teams, as far as I'm concerned, can run the ball. And that's what makes Baltimore so much more interesting to me from the standpoint of that they can show yesterday, they can win games when Lamar Jackson isn't the all-world Lamar right. Jackson. And he wasn't. He was far from it. He was pedestrian yesterday. Yeah. So was the running game. But they still managed to find a way to win the game outside of just Lamar right. having to be the greatest thing that ever walked planet Earth. So I think there's a huge gap now in the AFC between what Baltimore is currently on both sides of the ball, all three facets, and what Kansas City knew. I mean, go down the list. Buffalo. I don't think it's even close right now in the AFC.
I hear you. And listen, Joe, like, this is what I've been saying all year long about teams needing to have their balance, right? That's why when Jordan Howard started being able to run for the Eagles, I was like, uh-oh, if they have this balance, they're onto something. That's why, uh-oh, Todd Gurley gets the ball 20-plus times and look at the Rams all over again. You know, that the ability to have balance. I say it when Matt Ryan, when Phillip Rivers is putting it up 45 times, it ain't going to happen. Right? That we are on the same page, Joe. Okay? And that's why we talk about San Francisco. They can win with defense. Jimmy G can do it. Or their run game. You have to be able to be variable, be multiple, have balance. Absolutely. Okay? And if Kansas City is a little too pass heavy, yes, that is true. That is something that could be a problem. We're seeing that New England doesn't have, like, if you take away the left hand, right? Like, Bill Belichick could beat the Bill Belichick offense right now. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. Right. Houston can run the ball a little bit, Joe. Houston can run the ball a little bit and have some of that balance. They may be a team. And by the way, Joe, that's why I am coming around on the Tennessee Titans. Now, I think they are a cut below. Okay, I do think they are a cut below. But Derrick Henry can certainly pound the rock in January football. And we're seeing what Tannehill can even do under the center. Now, Joe, might the Tennessee Titans be one of the teams that actually have balance in the AFC?
Not if they can't beat Houston, and that's the problem with Tennessee. Well, they might be the best team. They might be the best team that doesn't make the playoffs because of that fact. Listen, we've seen this from Tannehill before. I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. He has gone through stretches of this that where he looks like more than capable. He looks like that franchise quarterback. But Tennessee has a history of doing this and then all of a sudden going, what the Houston? I mean, really, Bill O'Brien? Like, so you beat Kansas City, right? You beat New England prime time and you lose to Carolina and the damn Denver Broncos with a rookie quarterback playing his first road game. And your team wasn't ready to play. It's that simple. They weren't ready to play. And Denver boat raced you. And, you know, to me, that's why when you look at anybody else, like, we know it's coming. Like, in Tennessee, between now, the next 3 weeks, can they rattle off three? Sure they can, but they've always had the ability to be able to play great defense, good running game.
Right.
It's always been the quarterback that might be the issue. Do you trust Tennessee or Houston?
Oh, it's a different quarterback.
In January?
It's a different quarterback now. Not really, but I'm saying they have some of the ingredients of something that can be successful.
Right.
I think balance is a huge ingredient, Joe.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of teams not playing in January. We'll go through the list. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right. The nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, rise and grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe at the Sports Grid Network. All the fantasy and sports wagering advice you need all the time. Sports Grid Network. Make sure you hit that little bell in the upper right-hand corner on YouTube. Plus, follow us on Instagram at Sports Grid TV. And we do have a Monday night game to wrap up week 14 of the NFL season, or the NFL week 14 coming to an end with Eli under center. And you, of course, can get in the game with a DraftKings Sportsbook account, where if you're listening or watching this show right now, you can go ahead and get yourself a deposit bonus of up to $500 to put down on this game. Now, here's how it works. You create a DraftKings Sportsbook account. You make a deposit. Then, well, you place your first bet in DraftKings. They'll match it with a 50% bonus of up to $500. Now, the offer is eligible for all users and new users. You guys get a risk-free bet of up to $200. Just head over to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com /DK. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Make sure you check out the website for details. And some very interesting bits of information coming out of week 14, certainly as far as the playoff picture is concerned now, because the AFC with Kansas City winning and with Baltimore winning and the Patriots losing, we've got currently a couple of little swapping going on in the AFC with the Ravens sitting atop at number one. The Patriots currently still, and I think we need to remember, they still have 10 wins. They're still a 10-win team. Absolutely. They are 10-3. Kansas City sitting there at the number three spot doing the Andy Reid special, guaranteeing themselves now that they are champs of the NFC West and clinched that yesterday. They are no worse than a number four seed in the playoffs. The Texans, who are still trying to figure out what a Drew Lock is, went ahead and they got the number four seed at 8-5. The Bills, even though they lost, still a 9-win team. And then, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who only do things that just, they continue to amaze with guys like Duck Hodges and Deontay Johnson. They are doing things and winning football games on the road in what looked like, I don't know, looked like Heinz Field West there in Arizona yesterday. Yeah, kind of crazy.
A lot of towels waving in Arizona.
Wow, how many Pittsburgh Steeler fans were there.
I think it's a popular retirement destination for people, you know, in the Rust Belt over there to move southwest.
An interesting side note, too, Deontay Johnson was the first guy to actually return, I believe, a punt for a touchdown since Antonio Brown did it. It seems like moons ago. But he's also the guy that got drafted when Pittsburgh traded Antonio Brown to Oakland. Yeah, that was their pick.
Yep.
So he's already paying more dividends than Antonio Brown is paying with any team in the league right now. But you got to hand it to Pittsburgh. You know, that was a spot. Yeah, Pittsburgh yesterday, that was, to me, more telling of a win than we have seen, because that is exactly the kind of game that we have seen Tomlin in the past and this Pittsburgh Steelers team go in a game they should win, a game that on the road that they are favorite, that there's, if you want to be taken seriously as a team with all of the duct tape you have used this year, you got to win that game yesterday on the road against an inferior opponent. And they did. It might not have been pretty, but they did. That defense, that is a defense that will travel. That is a defense. And now Juju Smith-Schuster apparently is healthier. He'll be back. But man, talk about next man up. Not enough great things can be said about the job that Tomlin is doing, because in years past, even with Roethlisberger, they lose that game. They lose that game in Arizona. It's exactly what they've been. They rise up to the occasion against tougher competition, and they blow up against the lesser competition. But it's not what we've seen. I hear they are sitting at the sixth seed, and does anybody really want to roll in and play pit that defense right now? I don't think so, man. That defense is no joke.
No, I hear that. I agree with you defensively. Offensively, I look at it. Remember, you know, years ago when they were the Killer Bees, you know, Ben Brown and Bell. And then even last year, it was like, oh, but James Conner is a Pro Bowler. Oh, but Juju can be the wide out one. They don't have Juju. They don't have Conner. When I look at the box score here, Joe, we're talking about Benny Smell, Kevin Wythe, Jalen Samuels, Deontay Johnson getting work. So, you know, I mean, Mike Tomlin deserves to be in the coach of the year conversation. There's plenty of reasons why this team could have unraveled, right? But they decided, no, let's go for it. Let's go out and trade our first round pick and acquire Minka Fitzpatrick. Okay. And it's worked out for them as that defense is sort of evolving. You're right. Between Fitzpatrick and guys like Watt and Dupree coming on. I will say that I do not think they are at the level of these other teams, okay? Like, for example, they're going in on Sunday Night Football and playing Buffalo next week. I lean already towards Buffalo. I think it's a nice story. I think they're doing well. They're putting it together. They're holding it together with spit and glue. But I do not think they would hold up against, you know, some of the big boys. I just don't. But it's a nice story. I got love for Duck Hodges, okay? But, you know, it's one thing at Arizona. I don't know that this would happen against a Baltimore, a Houston, a Buffalo, a New England.
What is the, well, Tom, what's the difference between them and Buffalo right now?
What's the difference between them and Buffalo right now? I believe, yeah, I believe in Josh Allen.
I think that they're exactly they're limited offensively.
I think Josh Allen makes more plays than Duck Hodges. I think Josh Allen needs to be considered as a much better quarterback than Duck Hodges at this point.
Well, the much better quarterback was limited by a lesser defense in Baltimore yesterday and kept overthrowing not one, not two, a half a dozen wide open receivers Josh Allen couldn't hit yesterday while Duck Hodges continues to make plays. And this is my problem with Pittsburgh. People are going to keep sleeping on them. Defense wins in January, period, guys. Defenses will win. They will expose quarterbacks that, I don't know, like the Ryan Tannehills of the world or the Josh Allens, who are just, they're not there yet. Josh Allen, to me, Duck Hodges, 6-1, flip a coin. Defenses both ball out. Are they going to score 100 points? Hell no. It's going to come down to a last-second field goal. It's going to come down. If you want to talk about the difference between Pittsburgh and, let's say, Kansas City, yeah, there's some differences there, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. But I think teams like Pittsburgh and Buffalo, flip a coin, guys. Either of those two teams, we know exactly what we're going to get for them. The identity is there. We're going to get a couple of plays on offense, but we are going to get lights out defense. And like Baltimore showed yesterday, they have the ability to unfortunately make a couple of more plays offensively than teams like. And I don't think Pittsburgh's really had that game yet where, and I don't know if they're going to get it from Buffalo. I don't think it's going to expose them defensively a little bit more on offense. Pittsburgh can win ugly. And that is going to go a little farther, I think, in the playoffs than some people anticipate, especially when you're talking like Houston. Like, really? Does anybody, yeah, even if it's Tennessee, you trust either of those teams against what you're seeing?
That's the thing. I think there's two tiers here in the AFC, okay? And I'll give you, Kansas City, Baltimore, New England. I put Houston in the top tier just because of Deshaun Watson. Okay? Then you have these three other teams, and I think Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Buffalo are all, they're the identity teams, Joe. I think you're right, okay? This idea that they're similar. And I think we're splitting hairs among things like Baltimore and Kansas City, the real dynamic offenses and elite quarterbacks, right? That's tier A. But this Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Tennessee teams, I think these are the teams that have the identity, bring their lunch pail, aren't going to make horrible mistakes, that kind of stuff. And you're right. It's close between them. I just think, I think Buffalo is the best of those three. And I think Pittsburgh is the worst of those three, but they are still in the group together. And you're right. They need things to happen. They're just not as good as the upper echelon teams. And I think two of the three of them will be wild cards in the AFC.
And by the way, kudos to Kansas City as well and Steve Spagnuolo for, first year defensive coordinator, new defense, installing his scheme. It was going to always take a little while anyway. And, they go into Foxborough and give up 210 yards total. And even though that offense didn't exactly perform as to what we're used to, and I don't think they are, they're never going to be that team of the Patrick Mahomes of last year or the year prior. It's not who they are this year. They're limited on offense because of offensive line issues and running game issues. But if that defense is playing catch up now and that defense is actually, and they looked a million times better the last couple of weeks, they're starting to get pressure on. Brady was sacked. There he is. That becomes a more well-rounded, complete team. And then I think you're talking really about two teams at the top in the AFC. If that defense keeps evolving, then you've got Kansas City and Baltimore, and then put everybody else in the same damn category. I don't care what it is. Balance those two teams. The only question mark with Kansas City all year was, is that defense ever going to get better? And they are. Right. They are big time getting better.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Joe, I picked up the Kansas City defense in fantasy because I also like their matchups coming down here at the end of the season, and I think part of the key, I said it all year, that Spagnuolo year one, it takes some time, and that's been historically where he goes. The other thing also, Joe, is with a healthy Patty Mahomes, right? A lot of times they're out early. They're out in front early. Okay, and if Kansas City has a 10-point lead, they're able to play a little bit different. Now, Matty Moore held down the fort, okay, but they weren't able to get at that 2-touchdown lead, right? And this KC defense is a lot different with Frank Clark and them bringing pressure, pinning the proverbial pinning their ears back. It's a lot different than if they're in a nip-and-tuck kind of game. And Patty Mahomes coming back helps their game flow for that defense.
It's that defense was on the field a lot in that second half, and they did the job. And congratulations, they become that much more dangerous with a defense that can stop people. So, and then there's the Jets. They won.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk, I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome in on a Monday here. Cannot believe it. December the 9th, 2019. I'm Joe Ranieri. He is Dane Martinez. On the grid, sportsgrid.com. Name of the show is Make It Rain. And we do have a game tonight, Monday Night Football, that we'll take a look at as Elijah Manning makes his return under center. Since week three, we'll see him going up against an Eagles team that unfortunately is not eliminated, is still in this. Congratulations, Philadelphia. But big game, none of sense. Still got playoff implications here to round out week 14. There are a number of teams, however, who have nothing to play for, that they are officially eliminated, and including those New York Jets yesterday, who somehow managed to beat a team who didn't score a touchdown. No, they scored 7 field goals. Yes, 7 field goals, but the Jets won. And the team didn't score a touchdown, that being the Miami Dolphins. But, you know, hey, a win is a win. Why you want to win, I have no idea. But they won, moving to 5-8 on the season. And the funny part is here, Dane, as crazy as this may seem, We talked about their win total was 7, I believe, this year going into the season.
Yeah.
And we all said, you know, listen, they're going to be a 7-9 football, maybe 8-8. If things go really well, they might get to 9 wins. Well, you know, here they are sitting with 5 wins. Would it surprise anybody if they win 2 out of the last 3 games to go to 7 wins and win? It's hard to believe that the New York Jets are going to end up being exactly what we all thought they were anyway, a 7-9 football team. And it's very possible it blows me away that that's exactly what they're probably going to be.
Yeah. You know, Joe, like when I play golf, you know, fours come in a lot of different ways, right? You can hit 2 great shots right. And then still 3 putt, right? Or you can go far left off the tee and hit an amazing shot out of a bunker to land 3 feet away, right? It happens in a lot of different ways. And getting to 6 or 7 wins happen a lot of different ways also, I would say, right? You know, like the Colts, who everyone thought was great, are now falling off. They might finish with like 6 or 7 wins also, the same as the Jets. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
It is a lot of different ways. I will say this, though, Joe. I got a little fantasy story for you because I know you're not as involved in that. You're more sports investing, and I'm a little bit more on the fantasy side. There has been a battle for a long time, Joe, on whether or not you should even have a field goal kicker on, like, fantasy teams, right? Because it's so random. You know what I mean? It's so random. So, that's Joe, true. Last week, you probably remember because it's down by you. They pulled off the, you know, the holder passing to the kicker for a touchdown. You remember that?
That's correct.
The yep. Dolphins last week. So if you had Absolute Jason Sanders yep. as your fantasy kicker here going into the fantasy playoffs, Joe, you got a touchdown reception from your kicker. And then, Joe, yesterday with a 37, a 47, a 53, a 31, a 28, a 25, and a 22. You got 24 points out of your kicker yesterday, Joe. And that, I'm sure, mm-hmm. got people advancing. There are people that lost their fantasy playoffs because the damn kicker on the other side hit 7 field goals, Joe. That's why I say you got to ban kickers from fantasy football. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yep. But you're right, Joe. The Jets are going to wind up right there. And the way I've been saying it is it pisses me off because it gives Adam Gase an excuse, right? He can now, mm-hmm. they can kick the can down the road. There would be an argument to be made to bring him back. And I don't want that argument to be valid, okay? At 6-10 or 7-9, you can say, oh, but we never had C.J. Mosley. We would have beat the Bills in week 1. Oh, our quarterback had mono for 3 weeks, and then it took time for him to recover. Oh, just give us another year in the system and another draft to bolster the offensive line. Like, the Johnsons will buy that narrative and Gase will still be here. And ultimately, I think that's bad, right? Because they don't suck enough. And that's the problem here for the Jets.
Yeah, and it's not going to help them with draft picks. It's not going to help them with anything, unfortunately, as they are going to end up going. And they could very well, because that last game, I guess, is against what? The New England? No, the last game of the year is... They're all 3 winnable games. That's the crazy part. They could...
No, they're not, Joe. No, they're not.
They might not have anything to do. What do they got?
What do you mean? Joe, they're not... It's not easy at all.
What are their...
They're at Baltimore.
No, what are the
they're
last
They're at Baltimore
3?
Thursday night. At Baltimore Thursday night. That's a loss.
Right.
They finish at Buffalo. They finish at Buffalo. That's like a loss. That team is going to need to play for seeding. Week 16 is like the only
one. I don't know that they're going to. I don't know. See, I don't know that Buffalo can. Buffalo is, I think, assured themselves, what, a 5 spot one way or the other here with their schedule. Because they end up with, what, New England week 17?
Joe, they have 9 wins.
Right. So
Pittsburgh
they're
and
gonna have 10.
Eight.
Yeah, let's
Pittsburgh
say
and Tennessee
Pittsburgh,
State.
By the way, that's in. Yeah, so if Pittsburgh is at Pittsburgh or is it in Buffalo?
The Sunday night game next week?
Yeah, is it in Buffalo or is it in Pittsburgh?
I'll double check that right now.
I think it's in Pittsburgh.
That's fine,
but
to the point
of
the Jets.
I think if they can handle Pittsburgh, that game also means absolutely nothing. I mean, honestly, if they can beat Pittsburgh this week, I think they've secured themselves. They're not if they would have won yesterday and New England lost, we'd be having a conversation about Buffalo actually winning, as hard as that is to believe.
But
how crazy is that?
But
I don't know that can happen anymore.
But now you got three teams in the AFC, right? Buffalo at 9, Tennessee and Pittsburgh at 8, right? So to think that, I don't know, maybe if you think Buffalo will be locked into the 5 spot come week 17, if there's a few weeks to be played, right?
I think if they, because if they beat Pittsburgh, it's really the only team that can catch them.
Well, Tennessee can. Tennessee's one game back.
Well, Tennessee would be the number 6 seed if they all, because they got to play Pittsburgh too. Tennessee's got a brutal schedule down there. They got 2 against Houston. And who's that third one for Tennessee? That schedule is brutal.
Brutal. New Orleans. It's New Orleans. It's blue for Tennessee. However,
oh, it's killer. That's the other one. Oh, God.
I know. But Joe, the original question was about the Jets. And you said you think the Jets could go 2 of 3. I don't, Joe. The Jets' 3 games left are at Baltimore Thursday night. Then Pittsburgh, then Buffalo. 3 teams that need it. I don't think they go 2 of 3.
And flex another game in? Like, that's got to be a Thursday night football game, NFL, really? Like, you've seen this coming for weeks. You've seen this coming, and you can't get us any more than that?
Yeah. But that's what
so
that's
let's say
Jets
they're even 1 and 3. And the Jets are,
I think the Jets would be
all right. So if they win one,
then they're
6-10. Can they shock the world and beat Baltimore? Can they shock it? Can they?
Sure, but as a Jets fan, do you want? Yes, but as a Jets fan, you don't want that.
I want to win another game. I didn't want them to win yesterday.
Right, you don't want that. I'm just saying that it doesn't profile. It'd be very easy for the Jets to lose out here. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, all teams that, in my opinion, need wins in the AFC playoff picture. So I don't think the Jets win. Maybe they win one more at home versus Pittsburgh. Maybe. Okay, but I don't think they're going to. The Jets getting to 6 would be good. But even then, Joe, if you told me 6-10 going into this season, right? What was their win total? 7? You give a one-game kind of margin of error. Your quarterback was out for, 3-4 weeks? Your acquisition linebacker played maybe 3 games. Le'Veon Bell is now out. We'll see how long that illness lasts, you know, but whatever. I mean,
it better last.
The problem is,
it better last the rest of the season.
I know. Problem is, Gaze can make the case that Johnson's and Joe Douglas would buy about why he needs another bite at the apple. And that's my issue. I want it to be very, very clear, like it was when we were losing to Cincy in Miami, that he should be gone. And now it's not as clear.
Trying to come up with ways that they can actually win this game on Thursday night, and I got nothing. So I'm just going to assume that they.
It's that run defense, Joe.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
The Jets' elite run defense, Joe. That's how.
Is there a look ahead line for that game, or is it? It's got to be double digits. Is it not? I'd be shocked if it's not at least 12 points. I'd be absolutely. They were a 7-point favorite on the road against Buffalo.
Right, it's more, Joe. It's two touchdowns.
Oh, how much?
And the hook. It's 14 and a half.
Great. Woo. All right. Good stuff. And that should actually be 14 and a half. First half, second half. There should be at least a 2.5 touch. You could actually spot them. Hell, throw in another touchdown. Give them 21. And I guarantee you they still go into halftime losing.
It's a prop bet, Joe. Will Lamar Jackson play in the fourth quarter?
That's another interesting question. How much more do they need to prove in these games at the very end? That's nothing. Also going to come into play with some of these games down the stretch. How much does it really matter?
Every play he's on the field is a risk to his health.
And then you've got to ask yourself, are we looking at in the NFC, are we looking at a 10-win team not making the playoffs?
I don't think so. Only if the Rams run the table.
Which is feasible?
It's possible.
Need Minnesota, who's final three games are at home, by the way. You know, Minnesota could, theoretically, Minnesota could be left out if Chicago keeps winning games. Now, I don't necessarily think Chicago is going to run the table, but the possibility of Dallas or Philadelphia having to get a spot and there being a 9-10 right. win team left out is just brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And, man, how would you like to be Chicago, run the table, and still can't make the playoffs?
I mean, I think – and the thing is, though, the Rams are in the same boat. The Rams are in the same boat.
Yes.
Chicago and the Rams
That's correct.
Both run the table and be out because your wild cards could be – I'll call it Minnesota, but it could be Green Bay, right? And Seattle slash San Francisco. The Seattle slash San Francisco will be in, and Minnesota or Green Bay – is you know, has games in hand against these teams that may be finding themselves in Chicago. Like, Chicago and the Rams may both be finding themselves. Honestly, Mitchell Trubisky put it in my eye over the last couple of weeks, Joe. There's some development there. I'll acknowledge that. And with the Rams, there is some development there, and I think it's mostly due to them realizing Gurley equals balance for that offense, right? And so the Rams and the Bears could get hot and still not make it in because teams like Seattle and I'll call it Minnesota for right now can easily be. I mean, Seattle might be 11 or 12 wins and as a wild card team, and Minnesota
The Rams schedule is brutal.
10 or 11.
Yeah, but they just need to win two out of three and are at a 10 win situation. So if they're 10 wins and don't make it in because Minnesota wins out, which is possible with three games at home there, but I do believe they still
have one on the road. Minnesota has one on the road.
They got what?
They have
any left against the Packers or no?
They do. Yes.
They don't.
The last Monday night football game. The last Monday night football game
in Minnesota, though, correct?
In Minnesota, correct?
Yeah.
So then we should look at the Green Bay schedule, right? What if Green Bay, Chicago? If Chicago beats Green Bay, then Green Bay loses at Minnesota. Green Bay could be the team without a chair when the music stops if they go on a skid.
So we could very well see a 10-win team playing golf in January, which would be a shame.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So the Colts pretty much solidified. There won't be any postseason for them. And now the whole Andrew Luck, will he come back conversation, I'm sure will begin to take center stage as they blew a 35-21 lead in the third quarter against against Tampa Bay there. And they gave up 400. Winston threw for 456 yards. They gave up 542 yards. That being the Colts defense, that's the most since October of 2014. Yikes. Like, I don't know what to say other than yikes, Frank Reich. And I don't want to, to me, it doesn't fall on the quarterback here, because obviously a 35-21 lead, you're doing enough things to be, you had a pick six, like Darius Leonard played great, but There was, they had a punt, a lost fumble, a missed field goal. They turned it over. And that was like the first five possessions heading into the fourth quarter. It was ugly, man. It was not good football. But give credit to Arians and company in Tampa. Really started to turn some things around. And, oh, yeah, by the way, maybe the most overqualified defensive coordinator in the league. They're really starting to play Bowles for him now. That being, of course, Todd Bowles, man. Really starting. That's going to be a real, if they stay together, that's a pretty good defense.
That's
next
the
year.
Question.
A pretty good team next year. Yeah.
Yep. That's the question, Joe. Yep. Are they going to stay together? One thing, first of all, Winston threw 456. He was out for a drive looking at the hand. Tampa quarterback threw for 474, Joe. So let's not give them full credit. Blewett, Ariel, and I on yesterday, we had a little bit of a conversation. You know, we know Mariota's on his way out, right? These fifth-year quarterbacks, will they pick up the option? Has the Jameis Arians, Byron Leftwich combo, what do you do, Joe? You give him, and if you give Jameis a contract, how much? Is it like the Jacoby Brissett Carr kind of contract? Like, what do you do with Jameis going into this season? Is he your answer? Is he your franchise quarterback then for the next 5 years? Because you got to decide one way or the other. Do you think there's been enough improvements?
It's whatever.
Enough, like, do you trust it?
Yeah, it's whatever Bruce Arians says and tells the ownership group there that, yes, this is going to be their quarterback. The only reason they brought in Bruce Arians was to see if there's something salvageable with Winston. If he gives them the thumbs up, they're going to sign him. If he gives them the thumbs down, they're going draft hunting. But this is not a bad team either moving forward.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.